We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Today's program has been pre-recorded. Now a special Talk Radio 1210 WPHT presentation. It's Readin', Writin', and Reason. Now here's your host, Dom Giordano.
Hey everyone, welcome to Reading, Writing, and Reason. Dom Giordano and my colleague Dan Borowski here, quarterbacking this. Each week we try to bring you what's happening in the world of education. Our big interview this week is with Lilith Vinetsian. She's that teacher that stood up in Virginia. First time a teacher did it, I think she's in Loudoun County, went over to Fairfax, read them the Riot Act recently, telling them about what they were doing in school. She's from Armenia, and how it reminded her and her mom and dad and others of what they faced in the old country. They don't like that, particularly from a teacher. You'll hear that interview coming up as our big guest of the week. But we're working on somebody else who may be with us in a subsequent week, Yamini Park. I'm looking at a piece on her. This is the North Korean young woman, defector, who had to go through hell to get out of North Korea. Now, I was invited by Kurt Weldon, the former congressman, to go to North Korea with him for a 10-day trip. I said, can I broadcast? He said, yeah, but you may end up in the gulag there. He told me how bleak it was. Don't expect lights, Dom, after 6 o'clock at night or anything like that, even though he was going there on official business in North Korea. She escaped. She's now 27 with her mom. They had to go across North Korea to China, the Gobi Desert, across Mongolia to get to South Korea. Along the way, they were both sold into slavery. They were rescued by American missionaries there. So she ends up at one of the nation, in quotes, great universities, Columbia University. And she has said this week, and we're going to hear her soon here on Reading, Writing, and Reason, that this was like North Korea. How bizarre it was going to this place where there's no free thought. She was told it was a great university. And she was deeply disturbed by what she found. She talked about the first day of orientation, eager, at Columbia University, and how she said how much she admired Jane Austen. And the instructor there, she was scolded by a university staff member by admitting she enjoyed classic literature such as Jane Austen. I said, I love those books. I thought it was a good thing. The university staffer of the Gulag there at Columbia said, did you know that these writers had a colonial mindset? They were racist and bigots, and they're subconsciously brainwashing you. Jane Austen? Who knew? All right, so here on Reading, Writing, and Reason, we're making every effort to bring her here. And she then talked about English is my third language. I learned it as an adult. I sometimes still say he or she by mistake, and now they're asking me to call them they. How the heck do I incorporate that into my sentences? It was chaos, all this preferred pronoun stuff. I felt like the regression in civilization. Even North Korea is not this nuts. North Korea was pretty crazy, but not this crazy. So what did she do? She said that I just shut up in order to get out of there, to get my grades and move forward. And she's already published her memoir, In Order to Live, where she described what it took to survive in one of the world's most brutal dictatorships and the harrowing journey to freedom. All right? So be looking for her. It is a stunning story. And look, if she's upset and she's overvaluing how bad it is at Columbia, I don't think it's by much. And it's reverberating because people are tired of it, where we're needing people to come from these countries like Cuba and Venezuela, Armenia, and in the case of this woman, to come from North Korea and tell us what the heck is happening here in the United States. I didn't expect it would be like this. All right, one other item here on Reading, Writing, and Reason with Dom Giordano. A result of the pandemic, I think, is a good thing that came out of this, despite all the bad. People started to take a look at their schools, and school choice is starting to simmer, but something else, homeschooling. I'm looking at a piece in the New Yorker, of all places, saying they're talking about the rise of black homeschooling. Often underserved by traditional schools, black families are banding together to educate their children, sometimes with an unexpected funding source. The Koch family and other conservative donors are involved in this. Yeah, that's right. And what you're seeing now, this used to be either people that were conservative white or some that were more left, where the homeschooler population, which has grown, I think, to about 8% of the kids in school. So this mom, who's African-American, has been watching this and said, that's featured in the New Yorker. She had been watching the Zoom and Facebook and stuff that was going on and said, no, this isn't for us. I want to homeschool my child. So you're starting to see an outbreak of this. Homeschooling, she said, would allow her daughter to learn at her own pace without anyone making fun of her. So this is someone who never completed college but is doing this. And it's moving forward. We're starting to see more and more of this. This is an alternative. It's called choice. It is a good thing. One other thing I'm seeing, I'm getting inundated, and keep them coming here, due to the prominence of the station in Reading, Writing, and Reason, with people giving us a lot of information of what's going on at these school boards as we kind of end the school year. Most recently, the Tredyffrin Easttown School District meeting on the new race curriculum drew a full house. What happened is, I think they're putting in something, they're not going to call it critical race theory, but it's something like that, equity, kumbaya, and all that. Parents showed up and objected. One woman that we played on the show, the 9 to noon Dom Giordano show, said that imagine in kindergarten, you tell one child, the white child, he's an oppressor, she's an oppressor, and you tell the child of color, they're a victim. How are they going to be friends? The oppressor and the victim? This is going on repeatedly. So now people want to see what this curriculum is, and so far, Tredyffrin Easttown has not provided. They say they can't. Well, then how are they going to sign off on this for September until the parents see what is in this curriculum? We're waiting on that one. And I got an email from someone, but we're fair. We want to lock it up. We're at a big-time suburban school district meeting just in the last school board meeting the last few days. The vice president of the school board did say, yes, I'm a critical race theorist. I believe in it. Now, she's not running again. And her idea of it, her spin on it, might be different than mine. But you're starting to see people take to the ramparts. They're going to these school board meetings. They're running for school board. Don't forget, in November. And we are starting to see action all over the place. Now, some of the national teachers groups are fighting back. Last Saturday, teachers across the country protested laws restricting lessons on racism. That's what they say. What they were protesting is the fact that in places like Iowa and Florida and all over the place, we're now seeing people push back and saying, no, you're not going to tell kids they're oppressor based upon their skin color. We're not going to have the misinformation of the 1619 Project. We're banning that stuff because it's racist, it's not factual, and it's not squelching freedom of speech. Okay? And if you want to continue with this, we are not going to certify the results of your school. This is the type of thing that's going on. So expect a lot. This is going to bleed into the 2022 election cycle and 2024. That's the way it's going to go. That's exactly what's happening with this. And we'll be on it. So expect this woman from North Korea maybe at some point in the next podcast. But I am thrilled with how many people are being part of our network here. As you see something like this, then I can broadcast it, put it in the podcast, tell as many people about it. We're networking with people on this. It's critical race theory and related things. It is not going away anytime soon. It is a huge, huge problem. So watch for more of this. And again, follow me on Twitter, too. I put a lot of stuff on Twitter around this at DomShow1210, at DomShow1210. And whatever name they call this, whether it's equity, inclusivity, those are all fine. Those were, well, equity, meaning outcomes that are the same, is not fine. It should be equality of opportunity. It's right here. It's not going away unless people take back the schools. All right, coming up, we're going to talk with the teacher who stood up and made national news, Lilith Vanetzian. She's a teacher in Virginia. She talked about what it was like inside schools where she came from. This was socialism and racism. She's next, our big interview of the week, right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Today's program has been pre-recorded. Now a special Talk Radio 1210 WPHT presentation. It's Readin', Writin', and Reason. Now here's your host, Dom Giordano.
Parents, the longer that you wait and you don't hold your child's schools accountable gives these guys more time to dictate what's best for your child's physical, mental, and emotional health. Don't be afraid to speak out for your kids because they are voiceless and they rely on you. You should be afraid of them rooting for socialism by the time they get to middle school. Teachers, it may seem that our careers have come to a dead end, but I'm here to remind you, we don't work for the school board. We work to mold the next generation of well-rounded American patriots. So don't give up because it is up to us. Students, you are on the front lines of these indoctrination camps. Challenge the staff when you are presented with a ludicrous statement, and do not allow anybody to tell you that you cannot accomplish anything because of your skin color or to hate yourself because of your skin color. Students, it is up to you to be the next generation of victims or victors. And finally, to the board, this isn't over, and your policies are just as...
We've told you about this teacher who stood up before the school board in Fairfax County, which that in Loudoun County, Virginia, are affluent government workers, bad school boards, a lot of stuff going on. Lilith Vanetzian is the name of the teacher. Lilith, welcome. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you. I'm humbled. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, you know, I am a former teacher, not in a place like Fairfax, thank God, or Loudoun. So what made you take that kind of risk and speak up in front of the school board yesterday?
Well, we have to think about the future of this country. If we love this country and we want to preserve it, we have to look to the most vulnerable population, and that is our children. Our children are currently being brainwashed and indoctrinated, and it is up to us as adults, someone who understands that this isn't right. It takes somebody to stand up and say, I am not going to teach this. I am not going to be a part of this. I'm going to fight for my children. And whether I lived here or another state or another country even, I would still do the same. I would stand up for the children.
What level do you teach, or what subject do you teach, Lilith?
I teach elementary general music.
Okay, so you're observing this in your classes or in your school. What specifically? Is it critical race theory? You mentioned socialism. What are some of the examples of things that you think are indoctrination?
The first and key important that I want to mention is the professional development that they put teachers through. See, the trick here in the system is they want to brainwash and indoctrinate the teachers first before we take that information and wheel it into your children's brain. So before we start the school year and over the summer, we're getting ready for back to school and we're doing the professional development sessions and everything else like that. Instead of really honing in on how can we best support our children learning through the computer screen. Instead, we're spending hours a week and hours a month talking about checking microaggressions, white privilege. And at some point, it really caught me off guard. One of our professional development sessions, the music teachers were debating about teaching the national anthem. I couldn't believe it.
And what was the argument? Why not? Because of the third verse? Is that what it was, or was it something else?
Well, quite frankly, we unfortunately don't even teach all four verses, but they were mentioning something about the racial undertone, and another teacher said, you know, we have a lot of immigrants in this country, and they weren't born or raised here. And I really bit my tongue. I do wish I didn't, but I'm going to say it on the show. I'm a legal immigrant. I was not born or raised in this country. My family fled a former Soviet country. They fled Armenia, and we were around the world before we ended up in the greatest nation to ever exist, the United States of America. So you can't tell me that you think there's going to be an issue with immigrant students, because quite frankly, when my family and I immigrated here, we didn't question why do we stand for the pledge every day. We didn't question the cultures of this country. We adapted, and that's what makes you an American.
I thought there was some backstory when I saw your name like that. I haven't seen it in the media. When you mentioned to raise something, at the school board meeting, to raise the next generation of patriots, something like that. Mm-hmm. When I heard that, I'm saying, oh, man, that's not going to go over well with the Fairfax County school board there. What's the most reaction you're getting? We know about the positive. People are rallying to this. Mm-hmm. How about the negative? Do you fear for your job, for example?
I mean, I can fear for anything and everything, but the one thing I fear the most is the future of this country. See, because the thing is the sooner that they can get to your kids, the sooner that they can start indoctrinating your kids, and we're seeing it as early as preschool, the sooner they can get your kids, the sooner they have already impacted the future of this country. So, of course, it's going to be backlash. Of course, there's going to be a mob that comes after you or your job. Quite frankly, I don't care. Because if it's not Loudoun, if it's not Fairfax, if it's not Virginia, I'm still going to teach. I'm going to teach, and they can keep canceling me. At the end of the day, I will start my own school. You can't cancel me then, can you?
No, and I think it's Loudoun, not Fairfax you're in, right?
I'm in Fairfax. The school board that I spoke in front of was Loudoun County.
Ah, so you went to there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's quite a wrinkle. And they as happened in many. Now, let me ask you, and try to just go with me a little bit on this, because I think you will, too. You're a straight shooter on this. When you say this indoctrination coming and the school board has to sign off on this, are they the people, in your view, that are trying to do this because of their own ideology? Or are they, in some cases, we've seen them here, they are just lemmings that let this go on. Really, the ideology comes from the administration and maybe a smaller clack of teachers there that run things and push this through. What about the school board? Do you think they're all wanting socialism? I mean, why are they doing that, do you think?
That's a great question. I did mention earlier that they want to attack the most vulnerable population first in order to change the course of this country. But to answer your specific question, I don't truly believe that every person on the school board feels that way. There is a lot of exterior pressure. Here in this area, Northern Virginia, they get a lot of pressure from the NAACP. And the NAACP has also pressured the Board of Supervisors. The Board of Supervisors are in control of passing policies and legislation for our law enforcement officers and first responders. So the NAACP really gets their feet wet and gets their foot in the door with the Board of Supervisors and the school board. What really pains me, though, is that although, knock on wood, there are more and more teachers and more parents are speaking out, we have waited so long. Now we're at the end of the school year. So it's better late than never. I don't think that it's late. I do, though, hope and encourage families to continue holding their school boards accountable, whether they're being pressured or whether they truly want your child to be in their current demise. It doesn't matter, because we have elected them. We are paying our taxes to them. They answer to us. They call. They answer our call. So it's up to us to hold them accountable, whether it's coming from them or not.
I'm obviously in agreement with you, and you bring a completely different wrinkle to this, the professional development of teachers. And you probably know, in many instances, there's big money. I think in Loudoun, the big guy, Ibram Kendi, spoke at one of these things. I think it was by Zoom for 20 grand. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they bring in the biggies. But the question I would go back to is, are the teachers engaged in this? Are they believing this? Or are they kind of graded on it, do you think? So a lot of them have to go along with it. They may tell you, I don't agree with this stuff either, but it's either that or be fired.
It's 50-50 because we are in the trenches at the end of the day, whether you like it or not. I have come out to see that more and more teachers are kind of virtue signaling. So it's very off-putting. You know, teachers that you didn't think had an opinion or didn't lean a certain way are now virtue signaling on their social media platforms, showing the plethora of anti-racist books written by Ibram Kendi on their, you know, school library. It's very discouraging. However, the silver lining to all of this is that there are teachers who may have leaned one way that are now joining us on the right. And they're saying, you know what? I don't like what my side is doing. This is not cool. I have kids of my own. So while the mob is, you know, they seem to be loud and they seem to be aggressive, there's also some undertaking here, too, from the good side.
I think you're right. And I did not know you went to the other school district to stand up there.
Yep.
What were you saying when they cut off your mic? We've been playing that this morning.
Oh, my gosh. I said your policies are just as pathetic as forcing us to wear a mask. The reason I said that was because I was the only person to not wear a mask besides my friend who spoke after me. When I approached the podium and I started speaking, the chairman cut me off, asked if I have a medical exemption in public, asked if I have cleared it with a staff. Then she waited for the staff to give her a thumbs up, and they didn't. And I said, this is embarrassing. You are discriminating, and you're going against HIPAA law. And the crowd just went wild.
Unbelievable. Well, Lillette, you are welcome here anytime. Please keep us in the loop on this. And thank you. Thank you for what you did yesterday.
Thank you.
And I think
it is
your story,
my pleasure.
I kind of sense that maybe you had a background story to coming from oppression, and that's why so sensitized to this versus some. And we will be in touch. But thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much. God bless you for what you do as well. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Lilith. Lilith is a tremendous guest, and we'll talk with her again as she continues. It's the first time that I've seen a teacher stand up before a school board in this manner. Of course, they cut her off. And you can hear the sensitivity of Lilith and others who, their ancestors at least, or they fled. When we have on people here who've come from another country, they don't want that to happen here, and that's what I think her frame of reference is. Now, something exciting you may have missed this week that I think is big, that involves kids big time right here in Philadelphia and the Supreme Court. I talked about it on The Daily Show 9 until noon, and there's a lot more out there that's going to come out over this. I have something to tell you I didn't know at the point when it broke. The Supreme Court sided with a Catholic adoption agency that said they could not, because of religious belief, work with same-sex parents. They wouldn't do it with unmarried people either. Same-sex foster parents and or adoption. So does that hurt kids? Well, that's one side. The other side says, though, and I think the Supreme Court says this, you get rid of an adoption agency like this, foster care, going through this, the big guy in town, the Catholic Church's group, and you're really hurting kids. But they also said the free exercise clause of the First Amendment, applicable to the states under the 14th Amendment, provide that Congress shall make no law, you've heard that, prohibiting the free exercise of religion. Johnny Roberts wrote that, Justice Roberts. And it was a 9-0 slam dunk case. Even the three progressives on the court, even Brett Kavanaugh went with it. It's stunning news. So what's the reaction been? Well, this Representative Jayapal, you've seen her, one of the more radical. She's like a sub, If they ever have to do that with the squad, she could jump in there, right? That's how radical. She says immediately on Twitter, this is why we need the so-called Equality Act. That's what they're pushing. There's going to be an added push on that. This is going to have influence on the Catholic bishops who are meeting and going to issue a report about whether or not Joe Biden is in good standing. Is he an apostate of the Roman Catholic Church and he shouldn't be able to get communion? Because Biden, his Justice Department, every force of the left out there, they see this as all-out war. This is a huge, huge win for kids, I believe, for religious freedom, for the Catholic Church, and for, finally, the Supreme Court, 9-0. The left will not stop on this. This is almost at the level, the supreme level of abortion. It's a notch below that. You know, Roe v. Wade, abortion rights, something like that. But this, in a place like Philadelphia, they go nuts. And they're going to try to tell you it's the Trump Supreme Court, 6-3 and all. Get out of here. Trump got three people on this court. The three liberals that were put on by various progressives, they went with this. Why? Because it's an obvious thing. There has to be a zone in the public square for religious freedom. It's like the cake baker in Colorado. So watch for more on this. Now, we also observed this week something else that's big in our area. The fifth anniversary of the legislation enacting Philadelphia's expanded pre-K program, funded by the tax on nuts, we call it the soda tax, it's sweetened beverages. Just an outrageous thing. And by the way, they are, on September, only going to have about 4,000 students. They're supposed to have funding for 6,500. It doesn't seem to be a rousing success. They're going to tout this. My observation on this pre-K stuff is this. Yeah, it's a good idea. It's not an overwhelming idea. And certainly you don't villainize and savage an entire industry and all the spinoffs from that. And you don't butt in and telling people they shouldn't have a soda that you know better. Look at Jim Kenney. I'm looking at a picture of him on the fifth anniversary sitting there with the kids. Now, I'm not into body shaming or whatever, but come on. What's Jim Kenney eating? What's he drinking, more appropriately? How in the world does he and his minions, like the head of his public health, the guy who didn't have any sensitivity toward the remains of the MOVE kids and also was involved in hiring an idiot to run the COVID program, how in the world do they get to sit in judgment of you drinking soda or sweetened beverages or anything else? Well, they don't. It's too much intrusion here. And they've wrecked a lot of jobs, a lot of businesses, sometimes people that were felons. This was their road back to work in the supermarket, the ShopRites, the guy that we've had on repeatedly. How in the world do they get to do that? Well, with their willing henchmen in the media, with some unions going along with them to go after these other unions, because then they got all that work with recreation centers and so-called rebuild Philadelphia. It's all there. But they're going to tout this. They're going to make you believe it's only because of pre-K. How good is Head Start? Is Head Start a success or a failure? I deem it a failure. I don't know if Head Start has spent $1 trillion, but it might be close to that. If you go all the way back, I'd have to look at their budget. They might have spent $1 trillion. We know the studies indicate that any gains in Head Start are over by the third or fourth grade. They have to be reinforced by the parents and better schools, better teachers, better everything. Otherwise, they don't matter. It's fiction to say that this is the magic bullet that's going to stop poverty. It's amazing, but they have won the day so far on this. I don't know of remaining lawsuits or anything else out there, but I believe it's only in Philadelphia and Berkeley. They're the only two that I know of. I know that in Chicago, it was rescinded, the soda tax. Chicago! And you know how progressive they are. All right, so we'll have more on this as it continues. I'm even writing about that. We'll have more updates on this. The fifth anniversary here on Reading, Writing, and Reason with Dom Giordano and Dan. By the way, speaking of woke schooling, our friends over at the Manhattan Institute have put together a toolkit for concerned parents. Now, a toolkit means that they give you what you can do if you're a parent, grandparent, or just concerned about what's going on in schools. Critical race theory and things like this, socialism, diversity, inclusion, equity, all the buzzwords, right? And what they do, I've downloaded their PDF. We're going to hopefully have them on in an upcoming episode of Reading, Writing, and Reason, and they'll lay out what is involved and how to get this toolkit. I'm just putting it on the agenda that we're working on that. When we get them on, we'll give you all the details on that as they roll it out so that you will be able to figure out, rather than just getting mad and hollering all the time and saying, well, elect somebody for president. Remember, that doesn't get it done. We can have anybody for president. It's the local school board. It's where you are. That's where the action is. And it's you as a parent or grandparent or taxpayer, engage with what's going on in the classroom. All right, one other thing along those lines. When Neil or Lou Gall are out on Fridays, you know we go to Christian Toto. This guy is brilliant in the education field. He's vaguely libertarian conservative, I think. He's got a great piece up at Real Clear Investigation, long piece. Left Foot In, Children's TV is doing the Wokey Pokey. Now, you know how I love talking about the Hokey Pokey and how I get derided for that. Well, the Wokey Pokey, he goes through in the media right now all the stuff that's out there that parents may or may not be aware of. It is quite a list. And in going through that, he gives us a sense of how to combat it. And he has a great group that he mentions. If you just Google this, Common Sense Media, Common Sense Media. They are the watchdogs out there of things going on around all these issues of drag queens reading to kids, etc. Every cartoon network is involved in. I mean, it's just inundating with this stuff with young kids. This ought to be something for parents. Well, this, you know, parents need all the help they can get today. Parents should always be aware, but I understand with all the stuff going on, you want to be alert to this. You try your hardest. Common Sense Media will help you to stay on top of it. That's what we try to do here with Reading, Writing, and Reason. Arm you with stuff to make it more convenient for you to let you know all the stuff that's going on and how to be online, at least, members with these various groups that are taking action. We're thrilled when Dan got me those three women, Clarice, Azra, and Dr. Fishbein here locally. We did a virtual speaker series with them. Incredible. The number of people that downloaded that, sent it to people, commented, were involved. Just one of the best we've ever had. So that's what we'll continue to do. Remember, Common Sense Media is the thing to take a look at. This Catholic school thing, this Catholic church thing with the foster care and adoption, this is going to be a firestorm that will not go away anytime soon. They're not going to stand for this, even though it's the Supreme Court. It's a real good example of how the left is relentlessly pushing their agenda. I'm so glad the court, though, ruled 9-0. 9-0 is almost hard to believe. There's always a judge or two that goes off or a 5-4 decision. So watch for more of this. All right, special thanks to Dan for producing all this week and each and every week. I believe it's our 21st episode, meaning now we can legally go and drink or whatever. But thank you. Thanks for the support. If you want to share it with somebody, you hear it on the radio, whatever it might be, it's right up on the station's website, 1210WPHT.com. Send it away. The more, the merrier. Inform people. Join with them. Let them know what we're finding out and the guests that we're bringing. Each and every week on a Friday, it drops right here at Reading, Writing, and Reason.
Today's program has been pre-recorded. Now a special Talk Radio 1210 WPHT presentation. It's Reading, Writing, and Reason. Now here's your host, Dom Giordano.
Hey, welcome in, everyone. It's Reading, Writing, and Reason. Dom Giordano with you. We're on the cusp here of Father's Day. A big day in the Giordano. You know how I talk over the years about DJ and Luke, the pride and joy, all the things as a dad that have come through that. So I didn't have a daughter. And I know, Ro, that was something we've talked about over time, but it's been just the best part of my life. But I'm looking at a piece at American Enterprise Institute. They're a conservative think tank in Washington. Headline, Redefining the Feminist Dad. Naomi Schaefer Riley. And Ms. Riley says society has not outgrown the need for fathers. She said her father used to say, he told me growing up, he was glad he had daughters when he did and not in the 50s. He's reasoned, he acknowledged, is somewhat selfish. Growing up in the 50s, my dad's sister could only play with dolls and have tea parties. But his daughters could play tennis, compete on swim teams, enter debate tournaments, and join jazz bands. He found it all much more interesting to watch, and nothing made him happier than cheering our successes. And then she goes off on this guy who has a new book out, Jordan Shapiro, Father Figure, How to Be a Feminist Dad. In this, he says, research has consistently shown there are no differences that can be attributed solely to the sexuality, gender, or biological sex of the parents. Shapiro scolds those who disagree and base their opinion on an outdated assumptions about maternal or paternal influence. They might say something like a boy needs a father to teach him how to be a man, but it's not true. Oh, really? Ms. Riley says, well, if you think there are no ingrained differences between men and women, feel free to pick up this book. But for those of us with more than 3 years experience on the planet Earth, it is worth considering the unique role of a father at a time when girls have more opportunities open to them than ever before, but also to be experiencing extraordinary rates of depression, anxiety, and even suicide. She goes on to say that the recovery of family life and what we see going on now, the importance with the dad and his daughter, every bit as critical as the dad and the son, guiding a daughter to the right partner and putting her on the path to a happy family may not seem in vogue. But if helping a girl to achieve a satisfying adult life is not feminist, maybe society no longer understands what it means to truly advance women. Just a great column for Father's Day, I thought. Father's Day across the board, dads and sons, but dads and daughters also. And the takeaway here for me is how things have improved, where dads can be more involved with more things than they did many moons ago, particularly, I think, athletics, sports, just a great thing. I know with DJ and Luke, that's meant the world to me, even now that I can't beat Luke in just about anything. It still continues. So great piece. Great thoughts for Father's Day. Now, not so good. We have another school in New York. How many of these places are there in New York here, Reading, Writing, and Reason with Dom, are out there that cost $50,000 plus? Well, this one, New York City's Spence School, cost $60,000 a year. 60! Wow! That's every year. That's not high school. So what happened is, this elite Spence school has had someone go public. Hispanic tech executive Gabriella Barron fired off a scorched earth letter to the prestigious Upper East Side institution last week, seething that the video shown to her eighth grade daughter and classmates on graduation day openly derides, humiliates, and ridicules white women. Yeah, that's right. They had any number of white women they brought on, some of them prominent, showed an interview, then mocked them. Now, this is a place. Barron, high-tech mogul, is an alum. Other alums, Gwyneth Paltrow, you know that's big time. Kerry Washington, Michael Bloomberg's daughter, Georgiana, among its graduates. God. Well, it's only about $58,000 a year. I misspoke. I've seen 60 in some places. Now, this featured... this film, the video shows students at Spence School, was from a Showtime talk series. The host said, what percentage of white women do you hate? And there is a right answer. And they showed any number of women named Karen. They went after the Karen factor in this. And they showed this at a graduation. So let's see what the Spence School does now. I guess there are enough people in New York, you can imagine the money. We must have seen maybe 8 to 10 of these already, have we not? at least four very prominent ones of these Upper East Side, these fancy schools in Manhattan, and how revolting they are, how woke they are. Now you're starting to see, though, prominent people push back. Megyn Kelly was one you may remember. So it's going to be a question of, do they have enough where they can still charge about $58,000 a year for this gibberish? Or is this going to put a bit of a crimp in their style? We'll see. It's still a little bit too soon to tell. Hey, you may have missed this on my daily show, 9 until noon. But I had a lot of fun as we head towards summer season, hot weather, camp, right? Talking about summer camps, outdoor activities with the kiddies. Of talking about the guidelines that were issued by Montgomery County for camps and the guidelines in Bucks County with our friend Dr. David Damsker, the head of public health there. Michelle Masters, the division director of communicable diseases for the Montgomery County Office of Public Health, appeared in the reporteronline.com on June 10th. Now, unless she's changed since then, she says that the likelihood in Montgomery County of someone having COVID is very, very low at that point. Yet, she would continue to follow the guidelines of the Centers for Disease Control and the Pennsylvania Department of Health. Well, why would you be doing that? That means kids masked up. Encourage kids 2 to 12 to mask up. They're not yet eligible to receive COVID-19 vaccine, to continue practicing social distancing and wearing masks. Right next door in Bucks County, they're not having to do that. And the reason is they're not having to do that because Damsker has prevailed and the science has prevailed. How do we have the tail of these two counties? Well, you know why in Montgomery County. Because Valerie Arcouche rules the roof there. And she's running for Pennsylvania senator, if you can imagine. And it was announced this week, she's the only woman in the field of Democrats, and she's the only one from suburban Philadelphia. The other opponents, John Fetterman, he's from Western Pennsylvania, and the other guy, Malcolm Kenyatta, is from Philadelphia. What in the world is going on out there? So it's going to be interesting, and I'll try to follow. How do Bucks County camps go? I mean, if you were anywhere near a Bucks County camp versus a Montgomery County camp, wouldn't you send your kid to a Bucks County camp where after this hard year in the pandemic, they could play, do normal things with the Damsker guidance? Or do you take the Arcouche guidance here and still continue to have these poor kids have to mask up and go through all this stuff? I just hope people are aware of this enough. The media doesn't do what I do. I don't think they give you the comparison between these two counties. That is a big deal. That makes a huge difference. And we'll continue to do that here on Reading, Writing, and Reason, our weekly podcast with all the stuff that's associated with this. It shocks me that there's not enough information out there. This is a clear contrast. Now, if Montgomery County changes, I'll be the first to tell you. All right, they finally have come late to the party, much later, when parents are trying to make decisions and say, you don't have to mask up now. But it seems to me that this is just outrageous. Right next door. I mean, Philadelphia's crazy. People know that. They might do anything. But these two counties ought to be pretty similar in what the science tells them. Thank God Bucks County has Dr. David Damsker. The guy is wonderful. He makes a huge, huge impact. And this is just another example. Hey, thanks for listening to Reading, Writing, and Reason here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.